Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the lost keys of free speech. We used to have free speech. It's hard to find now. Is it in your coat pocket? Did you leave it in the kitchen? Anyway, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. They will gladly take your money. They will take it with gladness. Okay, so today is Thursday. We've got on with us Philbert. Philbert, welcome to the show.
Hello there. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on once again.
Well, thank you for joining me. And, okay, so I checked out Tucker Carlson, whom, frankly, like, I say I'm done with him, but somebody I know said, oh, he actually had a pretty good first Twitter video, because he's moved his operations over to Twitio, and so he had a Twitio, and it was supposedly okay, except for the UHO stuff. UHO? Is that what you call it? UHF? Unidentified UFO. UFO, that's what it is. And so I listened to it.
I think, actually, to be fair, they call it UAP now, like unidentified aerial phenomenon. That's an even fancier word.
Right. Okay. Well, I can't teach an old dog new tricks. So
no matter what the acronym is, it's, who knows?
Hey, it's all I can do just to say UFO. So, okay. So he was talking about Ukraine. He was talking about the dam that got blown up and being more or less sensible. And then all of a sudden started talking about UFOs. And I thought, really? You're going to do that now? It's your first show. He was talking about some sensible stuff. And then all of a sudden he's talking about UFOs. And so there is a whistleblower. Can you tell us about the so-called UFO whistleblower?
Yeah, I was just looking that up. So there was, his name is Jonathan Gray, a current U.S. intelligence official at the National Air and Space Intelligence Center. He confirmed the existence of, quote, exotic materials, end quote, to the debrief, adding, we're not alone. And so this guy has, believe it or not, he has filed formal whistleblower documents or complaints, whatever that is. But he's went through the official channels to become like an official whistleblower. And he's claiming that we have crash retrieval, like exotic off-world non-human crash retrieval. And he's saying that Congress is being stonewalled on this, and this is largely in control of private contractors. I just came across this, and that's something I've always found kind of interesting. And another thing I'd like to point out is there is a Jewish Harvard professor, and his name slips my mind right now, but if you look this up, I'm sure it'd come up. It's a Jewish Harvard professor that is it's the guy that's if you've ever heard of the Galileo Project. I can't remember the guy's name, but I remember what he looks like and what he sounds, and he's in charge of something called the Galileo Project. But anyway, he's claiming, this individual, this Jew, is claiming that there is an alien mothership just outside of, I don't know exactly where he's saying, but he's saying it's nearby somewhere, and he's claiming that his alien mothership is sending probes all around Earth, and this is what we're seeing, right?
Okay, they're sending probes. I don't quite know. Are they anal probes?
God, I hope not. Maybe if they can anally probe all our enemies. I don't know, but I can't really put my thumb on is, I don't think it's arguable that the Jews never come out and say anything unless it benefits them, right? I don't think that anybody could argue elsewise, and at least anybody who has a few brain cells. But anyway, what I'm trying to think is, how is this going to benefit the Jews? Like, what is their ultimate aim with this, right? As a whole, a Jew, let alone a powerful Jew at this, you know, a Harvard professor would not be coming out and saying, you know, ridiculous things like this. Now, I'm not even saying it may be true. It may be true. Who knows? Anything's possible, I guess. But what I'm saying is, he's not going to come out and say this unless it benefits the Jews. So I don't know how this is going to benefit the Jews. I mean, what are they going to do? Are they going to come out and say, we're all one race, right? We need to unite as humans, right? It's the human race. That's about the only thing I can come up with. I don't know if you've got something else, or I don't know what you think about it.
Well, there's a lot of things I think. So, first of all, regarding a whistleblower, U.S. military has a lot of people in it, and whatever branch this is, and whatever department, it's probably got a lot of people too, and you get cranks and loonies all over the place, so... That's one possibility. This person is a crank and or a loony. And another possibility is it's just kind of like a disinformation project to get us all barking up the wrong trees, right?
Yeah.
And of course Tucker Carlson's not new to this whole thing of UFOs. I mean, he's been talking about UFOs for a fairly long time. He brings them now and then. And to me, it's like, all right, so this is what I thought when I was listening to Tucker's show. He's talking about some very sensible stuff, and then he starts talking about UFOs. And I thought, all right, so to the extent that he had credibility with apparently that video has gotten like 4 million views. How many millions or at least hundreds of thousands did he lose when he started talking about UFOs? Right. And for a lot of people, the idea that Russia's not the bad guy in this goes against everything they've ever heard. And So if he's making like a convincing case that Russia's not the bad guy, and then all of a sudden starts talking about UFOs, it makes the other things, like these other things he's talking about. And by the way, he said that Zelensky was Reese and rat-like. Now that's pretty awesome. All right. So he was saying not just some sensible stuff, but to call Zelensky greasy and rat like was really good. And then all of a sudden he starts talking about UFOs and that we're not alone. And the thing is, like, if you're talking about advanced alien civilization, it couldn't come from within our solar system, right? Because the other planets, it couldn't come from there. So you're talking about, other stars, and there's so many light years to travel, and the idea that a civilization that could and would bother to travel that far would then just hang out for a while and anally probe us. To me, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right. It sounds silly. And as for the Jewish professor, can you just Google like Harvard Jew? And
yes, let me find out who that is.
Okay, because I don't know. I mean, everything is just so silly and weird nowadays. I have heard of the Galileo Project, and I guess it's something that's looking for extraterrestrial life. And, you know, it's one thing to look for extraterrestrial life through radio waves or whatever, and that might be really interesting. But honestly,
so
I think
his name is Professor Avi Loeb, A-V-I Loeb. So he co-founded the project with Frank Laukin, CEO of Bruker Corporation, whatever that is. They're a manufacturer of scientific equipment, is all it says. So I guess another thing I would point out is you could probably get a lot of money. You know, there's a lot of money in this if you could say, oh, look, I'm trying to do the Earth great, right? And not like these Jews ever have a history of stealing government grants or anything like that, you know. But I don't know. I can't help but to think they're going to have this benefit the Jews in some sort of way. And another way I guess this is benefiting the Jews is if we're busy talking about, you know, extraterrestrial aliens, which probably don't exist, I guess there's a small chance this isn't BS, but if we're busy talking about these aliens, we're not going to be, you know, too concerned or, you know, about the ongoing other alien invasion that we have at our southern border and the legal immigration and non-illegal immigration. So it may just be a whole big ruse to distract everybody.
Well, okay. And so, and I think that's one of the scenarios. And Tucker Carlson has from time to time talked about aliens. And for Andrew Anglin, for one, has often stated that when Tucker's talking about aliens, that it's there's something more than just goofy about it. That it's just like I don't know. I mean, Tucker Carlson's got his own kind of checkered past. He's got weird associations.
His father was CIA. He was a reporter for Voices of America, a known CIA news outlet.
Yeah, not just reporter, but eventually he ran it.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big deal. And then, of course, I don't know. Like, I'm just done with Tucker Carlson pretty much. I used to, if he's going to have an enormous Twitter program, then I guess I'll have to keep monitoring him. I was monitoring him because he was a big deal, because he was had a big audience on Fox. He was the tip of the spear of the, he was about as out there as normies were going to be exposed to, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the UFOs, I would say that there's something that's not real. Even if you want to entertain the very minute possibility that well, you never know. Even if you want to maintain that possibility, there is some mothership out there or whatever, we've been hearing about this for decades. H.G. Wells wrote a novel about it in the late 1800s, and they haven't caused us any problems yet. So I think so even if you wanted to assume that maybe there's something to it, it would be so low on the priority. Tucker's like, why are they hiding it from us? Why are they hiding it from us? Distraction. Yeah. Distraction. And then it does make people look ridiculous, at least in the eyes of the vast majority of people who don't put a lot of currency into alien encounters. And a lot of the people, not all, but a lot of the people who do, who are interested in alien encounters, are kind of, flaky people.
Yeah. You know, I would add this regarding Tucker. since he's gone, or he's not on cable news anymore, I thought about this after our last show, and I wish I would have brought it up then, but since everybody knows he's basically not going away. He's only going online now. So the people that are going to listen to him online, just picture it this way. Like, what kind of information did they get out of you by, say, you having your TV on and you're watching Tucker, right? Like, very little, right? But since he's going online now, if you're connecting, you know, from your computer or your phone, they're going to get a lot more information out of you, right? Like, say, your IP address. If you're watching from your phone, they're going to get your device, fingerprint. And not trying to get too technical with digital forensics or anything, but I can't but help but to think this is that, I'm not saying this is the reason why, but now that he's solely going to be online now, the powers that be are going to get a lot more information on the type of people, you know, that view him. And it's just one thing to keep in mind. And another reason I would encourage people just to not listen to him, and just pay attention to your own reality around you. And that would segue good into the UFO BS. It's like, until there's irrefutable proof, then okay, then maybe we could start talking about it. But until then, how about we really just pay attention to our own reality around us instead of all the speculation nonsense?
So, by the way, I remember there was a CIA whistleblower. In fact, Engelbert Poindexter wrote a song about him. Cherimello, Cherimello, they won't name you. The whistleblower that got Trump impeached the first time around. That was a whistleblower. He was I think he was a CIA guy who was working at the National Security Council. And okay. Eric Cherimello was his name, but they wouldn't name him. But everybody knew his name. It was Eric Cherimello. And they wouldn't name him, but he was the whistleblower, and that got the whole Trump's phone call to Zelensky, where he said, "Oh, by the way, Joe Biden was involved in corruption in Ukraine. You ought to look into it," which was absolutely true. And he got impeached over it, and that was a whistleblower. So, you know, these feds, just because a Fed is a whistleblower, doesn't necessarily mean you're getting the straight scoop, okay? And so I think this is kind of weird. But, you know, you mentioned the other alien invasion that we've got going on. There was a South African movie. Was it like 30 years ago or something? I think it was 30 years ago. And it was called something like Area 50. Was it Area 53? Or is that something else?
I'm not sure. I don't recall that.
Yeah, it was like Area something or District 9. Maybe it was District 9. It was something like that. And there were these aliens. And they were really gross looking. And they had been given refugee status on Earth. Right, something had happened to their planet, and they came, and they had a mothership. There was a mothership that was like in, I guess, some sort of geosynchronous orbit around the Earth. It was huge, and it was over South Africa, and so the South Africans gave them refuge. And this was, I guess, this was when South Africa was still basically run by whites, and they were these kind of, they looked more like crustaceans than like insects, but they certainly weren't mammalian, and they were gross, and they were unemployed, and they committed crime, and they got drunk a lot. They get drunk off of like sour spoiled milk. Mix spoiled milk and get drunk, and they're just big pains in the ass.
Governor DeSantis is officially in the presidential race. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. DeSantis used to be a pretty cookie-cutter Republican. Since the Wuhan flu pandemic, he seems to have leaned pretty hard into the MAGA conservative camp. I don't know if he actually grew up to be a conservative or if he's just acting like one for political gain. But either way, I have a couple of suggestions for him. Embrace your youth. We the people are tired of octogenarian politicians. If you want to have any chance of winning the primaries, you're going to have to win over a significant number of Trump supporters. And one way might be to promise when you're elected, you'll pardon Trump and put an end to the years of tax-funded investigations. And if you have become more conservative over time, admit that. Make a public statement about your beliefs when you were in the House and how they've changed. I'm not leaning toward any candidate yet. I want all of the candidates to fight for the nomination, and I want the best candidate to win. And if you own firearms, get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. And until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
And they got drunk a lot. They get drunk off of like sour spoiled milk, spoiled milk, and get drunk. And they're just big pains in the ass. And they were, I guess it. This was like, foreigners. It was a reference to foreigners and maybe a reference to blacks. Yeah, it was a South African movie, probably from right around the end of apartheid era, or maybe even after that, maybe a little bit after that, but when whites still could do things. And so I wish I could tell you what the name of it was. It was something like, it was it District 9 or District 13? Yeah, I think it was District something, because Andrew Anglin had an article. And he was talking about some congressional candidate from District 13 or whatever it was. And then he said, oddly enough, there's this South African movie by that same name. So it was District something, District and a number, District 13 maybe. And it's worth, if you like movies, if you like this type of thing, it's kind of worth checking out.
So, yeah, I think you're right. District 9 is a 2009 science fiction film directed by Neil Blomkamp in his feature film debut. I don't know if that's the same one you're talking about, but yeah, District 9 actually is a movie about, so it came out in South Africa, New Zealand, and the United States.
Okay,
so
that's it. I was thinking it was older because I almost never go to movie theaters, and I was thinking I saw it in a movie theater. if it was 2009, I probably saw it on an airplane, because that's about the only place I watch movies anymore is on airplanes, because I'm a captive audience.
So it's saying it was set in 1982.
Okay. All right. Well, that adds to the confusion. In 1982, is still apartheid. I remember, what year was it? It could have been 82 or 83. No, it was probably like 86. I interviewed a young South African diplomat. He was like the number three person at the embassy or something. And he was saying that they were still expecting, he was saying he personally was expecting whites to like form some sort of coalition with Zulus to get Zulus on board, and as well as Asians and coloreds, and that if they could get the Zulus on board, then the ANC could continue to be marginalized. And the Zulus at the time had this, what was his name? Chief Buthelezi, I think was his name, Chief Buthelezi. And he was the chief of the Zulus. And he was a rival to the ANC. I don't know exactly why, if it was just like a tribal thing, or if he was more conservative in a lot of his outlooks, and the ANC had this big communist wing, but he was a rival to Nelson Mandela and to the ANC. But at the end of the day, he sided with the ANC when they wound up having elections, because he had his own party, and it was called the Inkatha Freedom Party, and it was the Zulu Party. But at the end of the day, they made like some sort of electoral coalition with the ANC, and that was that for South Africa. It's been downhill ever since.
There is that one town, I don't know where it's at, it's in South Africa somewhere, but geographically I don't know say where it's at, but it's called Oneida, and it's an all-white separatist community, and it's been growing a lot. So it's probably one of the only hopes that we can have for some of the South Africans, is they just need to truly separate and defend, form strong, meaningful resistance. It's about all you can do. And that's all we can do here, too.
Yeah. So I mean, South Africa, like on the one hand, the government, they are a member of BRICS, right? So the BRICS started out BRIC. It was four countries, Brazil, India, I guess Brazil, Russia, India, China. So BRIC, BRIC. And then at some point, South Africa joined them. Now, South Africa is much, much less significant than these other countries. Although it's got a much smaller economy and everything. But it does have the position of being the dominant economy, if not on the entire African continent, at least in the southern part. I mean, Nigeria has also got a massive it also has a large economy, but it's because it's got such a massive population. You know, there are more Nigerians than there are white Americans.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, there are. And Nigerians, as far as our Jewish dominant elite's concerned, Nigerians can just emigrate here.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. There are. And Nigerians, as far as, you know, our Jewish dominant elite's concerned, Nigerians can just emigrate here.
Yeah. I mean, how many Indians are there? There's, what, over 2 billion Indians?
Well, no, there's like 1.4. But they, this year, are passing up China to be the most populous country on Earth.
That's scary. And just to imagine the filth that they live in. I mean, the Chinese, you could argue, are at least somewhat, you know, civilized. And, you know, I'm not saying I want to be invaded by all the Chinamen either. But, you know, if we're comparing apples to oranges here, Chinese are at least somewhat civilized, and the Indians just live in filth. You know, I cannot imagine the stench of India. They bathe in cow poop, right? So some of
them. Well, I mean, the thing is, the Chinese have a civilization. They have a culture. When I say a, I mean it in the singular. They are one nation. And there may be, you know, there's differences in cooking between Sichuan and Hunan. There are different cuisines, and, you know, but still, they are one nation, and they're an enormous nation. Whereas India, I mean, you could even make the argument that India is a creation of the British. And these people, not only are there all these different languages and, frankly, different races, but even if you are to look at, say, the Bengali speakers who live in Bengal, there, it's not as if even that is one group, because you have these castes, and the castes have not been mixing with each other. They have not been intermarrying with each other to any substantial degree for like 2,000 years. And so the upper castes and the lower castes are very distinct genetically from each other. You know, the upper castes do tend to have more what some people would call Aryan ancestry. You know, the languages are all related to European languages. Not all, but the bulk of the languages in India are related to European languages. So you had these Aryans who moved south, but then they mixed with the people who were there already. And you've got like so many, there's massive diversity in India. Is diversity their strength? Well, if part of that diversity is like worshiping cows and bathing in feces laden rivers and things like that, I don't know if that's.
And they burn you. That's part of a sacred ritual, right? After death, they burn you and then put your ashes in the river or whatever is left of you in the river. And it's just, if we're going to call that culture, I don't think that's, you know, I don't think that's a proper term.
But you have to admit they make a lovely curry.
I've never eaten it. No.
You've never had curry? You've never had Indian food? I do quite like Indian food. I made myself a curry the other day, as a matter of fact. But there are 1.4 billion, and even having small numbers immigrate to your country, ask Britain about it. Britain's got an Indian prime minister. It's got a Indian or Pakistani mayor of London. Got, I'm pretty sure, an Indian justice minister. I think about 4 out of the past 8 justice ministers who are in charge of immigration.
Yeah, they're in trouble. They are in deep trouble. The Scottish, is it the prime minister? Or I don't know.
The Irish had it. Oh, dude, the Scottish had this lady named Sturgeon, and I think they just got rid of her. And do they have an Indian up there now?
There was a Pakistani.
Pakistani gay guy who was the prime minister of Ireland for a while. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, the Scots need. They're going to be gone if they don't stand up. I mean, I don't know what to do. They need to do, but they need to stand up. They haven't. I don't know. They're going to be gone. They have the white or their prime minister is Pakistan, and he's complaining about everybody being white there.
Let's see. The first minister of, oh my God, Hamza Yousaf. Oh gosh. I was not expecting that. he looked like, thank you, come again.
Oh, for, my God. Scotland, is that what you're talking about?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's the incumbent since the end of March. So he's only been in office for a couple of months. So what was I doing? I didn't completely miss it. I remember Nicola Sturgeon left, and I remember hearing something about a subcontinental. I don't know if he's actually Indian or Pakistani or even if it matters, but this guy is, you know, like Nikki Haley. She could pass for white, but this guy, he does not pass for Scottish. So what is it with Britain? Okay, so you've got the United Kingdom as a whole has a Indian prime minister. You've got this subcontinental as the first minister of Britain, the mayor of London, and I'm pretty sure the justice minister. And you know, when they had that last election for prime minister, almost half the candidates were subcontinentals. So I mean, That's the thing. Like, if you're comparing the Chinese to the Indians, there's like the civilizational thing. But the other thing is, the Chinamen will come and they'll get rich, but they don't go around telling everybody what to do in general. The Indians, they get into these professions where they're telling people what to do, whether it's politics or you think of, doesn't Microsoft have a Indian CEO, and didn't Twitter, they had that Pakistani lady, her name was like Vagina something. And she was the person who banned Donald Trump from Twitter. So they get in these positions and are like telling everybody what to do.
Yeah, there was also one, Pajit. I actually think Pajit was in his name. It was something very similar to that. But it was his name was like Pajit something. He was the CEO of Verizon years ago, probably about 6 years ago, and under when Obama was still in office. And then I think right about the time Trump got into office, he was Obama made him the head of the FCC, or he had a very high ranking role in the FCC.
Yeah, they get into whereas the Chinese are very successful, but don't wind like, okay, so you had who was the guy, Yang, who ran for president? But that was actually almost like a con. Like, he was just making publicity for himself. He wasn't even rich. It was
he liked to cry a lot too.
Did he cry a lot?
Yeah, he did. He would bring up gun violence and then just cry about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of a fraud, because I remember seeing when you had these like 20 people running for president as a Democrat, and looking at the there was a list of their net worths, right? And you know, some of them had very high net worths. Tulsi Gabbard's net worth was very small, and why wouldn't it be small, right? She doesn't come from a rich family, and she's held political office. But going back and forth between Hawaii, and Hawaii's an expensive place to live, her net worth was like $500,000. And if you own a home somewhere, if you own a home in Hawaii, and it's not worth more than $500,000, you're living in a shack. So she wasn't worth much. And this Yang, his net worth was, I think, between $1 and $2 million. And if you're living in New York City, that's middle class if your net worth is between $1 and $2 million. And so he was supposedly some sort of tech entrepreneur, but he had not made a fortune. And I think he was just kind of, he was just making a name for himself. He was kind of a fraud. And now we got this Vivek guy, he's an Indian guy, Vivek Ramaswamy or whatever. He's somebody from, he's one of Tucker's buddies who's running for president supposedly, and he's young, he's 30, like 36 37, and supposedly he's some sort of tech guy. I don't know if he really has a fortune or what, or they just wanted a non-white front man for some of these positions. And honestly, he is taking pro-white positions, but at the same time he's like, yeah, because we have to stick together so that we can stick it to the chinks. He came out and said, yeah, we want to end this war in Ukraine so that America and Russia can form an alliance against China, which is, that's been Tucker's position. And yeah, I don't need Indians coming here, Nikki Haley or this guy, telling us we got to go to war with the chinks, because I'm not in for it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. All right. So, what else is going on?
Well, how about that weather, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of weather going on. Oh, okay. Here's something I heard somewhere, that the environmentalists, they're always whining about climate change, but nobody actually cares about microplastics.
Or overpopulation.
Or overpopulation. And of course, overpopulation was the big thing. And this is what, like, environmentalists, like in Ralph Nader's generation or whatever, overpopulation was a big thing. But microplastics, honestly, I heard about microplastics from, you know, an environmental organization. The thing is, global warming hysteria people are really, they're not even really environmentalist anymore. I mean, I think they have strayed so far from so many priorities. And you'll hear a lot of these people, a lot of these global warming hysteria people, and they're pro-nuclear, for instance. And, you know, they've got some very weird positions on things. And so I don't even, like, as somebody who, like, I have deep roots in the environmental movement, and the global warming hysteria people, like, I think there's climate change, but the hysterics of these people, and is it such a priority that we've got to ignore everything that's happening to us, all these attacks on us? We've got to ignore the racial attacks on us, and the medical attacks on us, and the impending World War III, and drop everything and address climate change, really? It's
an existential crisis, don't you know?
Existential. It's like, so to me, if I were to say it's a hoax, it doesn't mean I don't think the climate's changing. I think, of course, the climate's changing, just like the rest of the environment's changing. Of course, it's going to change if you've got 7 billion people and counting, 8 billion people and counting. And I don't think there's a whole lot that can be done about it. You can mitigate it slightly. And that's the thing. What you have to realize is, to the extent you can do anything about it, is mitigating it slightly. There's still going to be massive climate change. Is it going to be like on a scale of 80, or is it going to be on a scale of 90? You know, there's going to be massive climate change and all sorts of other kind of environmental changes, whether we like it or not. And we can do all these things to try to minimize it, but as long as we've got all these billions of people in counting, the extent we minimize, it's going to be rather negligible. And there's a lot of other things going on. So that's kind of my position.
Yeah, you had the Sierra Club, which is an organization that is supposed to be protecting, you know, our nation's forests, and, you know, or at least raising awareness of the rapid deforestation due to not climate change, but due to overpopulation. That, you know, they used to be very vocal about it. And then, right. I think you know more about this than me, but it just seems like, oh, they flipped on a dime. They're like, oh, suddenly it's racist to talk about overpopulation. It's like, well, why is that? Is it because, you know, non-whites are breeding like rodents? Or is it because, oh, wait, it's all Whitey's fault, right? So we're going to find a way to turn it around and blame Whitey.
They didn't flip on a dime. They flipped on a shekel.
There you go. There you go.
They really did. But the thing is, it didn't happen all of a sudden. What happened was they had an anti-immigration platform because America already was adequately populated. We didn't need any more people, and more people was going to be bad for the American environment. So they had an anti-immigration stance. And then their number one donor was this Wall Street Jew. And he said, you know, if you don't change this, you're never going to get another penny from me. And it took some years. It might have taken 5 years or 6 years. But they finally, when I say they, the money bags, the Jewish money bags people were finally able to get rid of the CEO or the executive director and replace him with somebody who is going to sing a different tune. And, you can look it up. You can find information maybe on Wikipedia, but you can certainly find it. If you look at Sierra Club and immigration, just do your search engine search with Sierra Club immigration, and you'll find this stuff. It was happening in the mid-1990s into the early 2000s.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Do your search engine search with Sierra Club immigration, and you'll find this stuff. It was happening in the mid-1990s into the early 2000s. And yeah, that's how this stuff works. Well, we're getting kind of close. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say it's these immigrants, you know, that are largely coming from, at least in America, they're largely coming from Latin America and South America, but they're being sold a Western style lifestyle, right? Where you can have, mm-hmm. you know, one car, maybe two cars. You can have a home, you know, and these liberals like to complained about, oh, your carbon footprint's way too large, right? But they want to sell all these immigrants, you know, a Western lifestyle where, you know, it's the all-American dream. It would be racist to not be able to give this to the world, right? And then we're just supposed to sit back here and be like, well, but we're not supposed to correlate any of this to, you know, the climate change, you know, that we're supposed to believe in. And it's it's just funny how as long as you can blame Whitey for everything, it's like that's all that really matters at the end of the day, as long as it's Whitey's fault, right?
Well, yeah. And you're moving them from areas, for instance, that are tropical or semi-tropical, subtropical, where you have very little heating costs. And then you're moving them, you know, in our hemisphere, you're moving them into America where there are heating costs, especially. I mean, they're moving past Texas. You're seeing them all over the place. You're seeing them in Chicago is full. Chicago is full of Hispanics, and it has substantial heating costs. It's a very cold city. And then, you know, you're moving Africans and Middle Easterners up into, you know, Sweden. They've got heating costs and carbon footprint. You're moving them to areas where they're going to need to drive, or they're going to drive, whereas where they came from, often they didn't need a car, or if they had a car, it would be one car for the whole family. They could walk to their fields from their village and do their agriculture. So none of it makes any sense. Is it supposed to make sense? Well, circling back, maybe that's why they inject the UFO stuff, just to confuse us. Well, we are up at the end of the show. I want to thank you for joining me, Philbert. Do you have any last thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to tell people, spend some time in nature. Go for a walk in your city park, or if you're, want something harder, go for a hike. Go for a hike in the woods, and it's important to spend time in nature.
Yeah, and if you have a dog, bring your dog.
Yeah, get the dog out. They need to get out and smell stuff.
Dogs are your best friend, and I'm surprised nobody said that earlier, but they are. Dogs are is a man's best friend, and it's about time somebody said that. Okay, well, thank you for joining me.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
And I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.